I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Yesterday, the Supreme Court dealt a blow to birth control access in the United States. In a 7-2 decision, the court upheld a Trump administration regulation allowing employers to deny contraceptive coverage to workers based on religious or moral grounds under the Affordable Care Act. This comes just 1 week after the Supreme Court struck down a Louisiana law restricting abortion access in the state. Kate Smith is a reporter at CBS News, and she joins us now to discuss what all this means for reproductive health. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Was the ruling a surprise, especially the split here, 7-2?
I think with such a new court, it's hard to say that anything that comes out of the court is a surprise at this point. We've just had such an unexpected season of rulings between the abortion ruling, gay rights ruling, and now this one. So while it might not have been a surprise, it was definitely unexpected, and especially how the ruling came down, a 7-2 ruling, which means essentially that the new conservative makeup of the court that we've been talking about so much might not have actually mattered for this one. But why it was surprising is that we've previously found that employers can opt out of birth control coverage mandates from Obamacare for religious reasons, but the expansion of that rule from the Trump administration to include also moral objections did seem quite broad. And yesterday, you know, the justices ruled that that's perfectly fine.
Let's remind folks what exactly the mandate was under Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, and how it changed with this ruling.
So back when Obamacare came out, the idea was that anyone who was offering insurance to their employees had to offer birth control coverage at no cost to the employee. Now, this is huge because, you know, if you are not a person who's ever taken birth control, you might not realize it can be extremely expensive. So, you know, this was a major victory for women who take birth control. But of course, with something kind of as politically charged as, you know, birth control is, it quickly found a lot of court decisions that, you know, kind of carved out what that exactly would look like. And the first one was religious organizations. So things like churches, monasteries, things like that, they quickly raised their hand and said, hey, like, this goes against our religiously held beliefs. We don't believe in it. Court said, okay, that's fine. That makes sense. The next one came along, and, you know, the huge case being Hobby Lobby. And so then the court said, okay, companies that are run by religious families can also opt out. And then this one was actually the third time that this mandate has been in court. And for this one, it was not only religious, but they've now added in moral objections. So the mandate that was created in the Affordable Care Act has, you know, spent quite a long time in court and is quite different now than it really was when it was introduced.
I want to talk a little bit more about who voted how. The ruling was 7-2. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor were the only dissenters. But Justice Elena Kagan concurred with the majority opinion. What was your interpretation of Kagan's stance there?
Well, first of all, I was very surprised. I mean, I was listening to oral arguments back in May. I was surprised by how she ruled, given her questioning of the attorneys at that time. But if you read her concurrence, it kind of makes a little bit of sense, right? She's not agreeing with the idea that as a religiously affiliated organization or someone who has a moral objection to birth control, that you can opt out of this mandate, right? She's finding it from kind of an administration point of view. So the conservative bloc said that this is a violation of the Religious Freedom Act, whereas Kagan is saying this actually was a rule that wasn't created very well. It really shouldn't have been the Health and Human Services. It really should have been Congress. And to be honest, the rule is very broad and it is ripe with, you know, interpretation. So it is important to note that by no means was Kagan agreeing with the conservative bloc that there should be religious carve-outs for this exception. Her argument was simply that in the administrative way that this rule was introduced and then rolled out might not have been legally sound.
So, Kate, there are some people who don't use birth control to prevent pregnancy, but they use it for other medical conditions. What could this decision mean for them? Will they also not be able to get birth control?
That is such an excellent point. And unfortunately, this ruling does impact anyone who takes birth control for whatever reason that they take it. A lower court found that somewhere between 70,000 and 126,000 people who take birth control would be impacted by this decision. And like you mentioned, people take birth control for a variety of different reasons, many of which have absolutely nothing to do with, you know, contraceptive reasons. It's simply for some, you know, conditions for women and, you know, people who have reproductive organs, it's simply the only medication that can serve certain medical conditions. So it is important to note that even though these employers are opting out for a very specific reason, often people take this medication for reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with that. And again, like we mentioned, I mean, I think one thing that really got a little bit lost in the discussion on this ruling, especially by the conservative bloc that, you know, was in favor of these opt-outs, was that birth control is very expensive. A lot of times it gets charged as this, you know, inexpensive generic drug. Why can't women just pay for it themselves? But the reality is, and especially for those women who take this for, you know, medical reasons, it's very expensive. It can cost up to $300-$400. It can be, you know, why bother have insurance if the most important thing that you take isn't even covered? But it will impact any woman that works for a private company. And the way the justices ruled yesterday is that virtually any private company, not just like a religiously affiliated company, not just a nonprofit, virtually any private employer that has a religious or a moral objection, and, you know, moral is a very ambiguous word, can no longer offer their employees birth control coverage. So it'll impact a lot of women.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what this tells us about the larger debate that we're having really in this country between religious freedom and reproductive health. This ruling feels pretty significant, particularly the 7-2 ruling here in that regard. I mean, where do you see this going? Is there anything next that we should be looking out for?
Unfortunately, there are a lot of things that are next that we should be looking for. A lot of people last week, when they saw the decision for June Medical Services, which was the Supreme Court's abortion ruling, they saw that as a win. But the reality is it's tough to call that a win for reproductive health advocates and women's organizations, because the reality is that they just maintain the status quo. Roberts by no means joined the liberal bloc to do that. He concurred, and he wrote a very narrow opinion that did give abortion rights groups a temporary win, but it also wrote a roadmap for people who are trying to limit or even get rid of abortion access and other reproductive health procedures in this country, how to get rid of it. And he was very clear, like, the court has precedent. I'm going to follow the precedent. But if you want to do this, here's how you would do it. So there are, I think, about 18 different abortion-related cases that are going through the federal justice system right now, all of which could severely dismantle how people access abortion in this country. And there are so many other cases like birth control. And so it really shows you that women's healthcare and the things that women uniquely use as part of their healthcare and part of their ability to, you know, participate in the workforce and do all of these things, a lot of these are under fire right now. And with a conservative leaning court, and especially one that appears to value religious freedom potentially over the individual, it does appear that there are many aspects of women's health that are simply not safe right now.
Kate Smith is a reporter at CBS News. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.